This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we're going to discuss a new documentary from Al Jazeera's Fault Lines. The Night Won't End, Biden's War on Gaza, investigates the killings of civilians by the Israeli military and the United States' role. It follows three Palestinian families who have experienced the ongoing horrors of the assault. The Salem family in Gaza City has lost about 100 members. The Goff family, who is attacked in the so-called safe zone, and the family of Hind Rajab, the six-year-old girl whose phone calls to the Red Crescent pleading to be rescued from a car were taped and heard by people around the globe. These stories represent the lives of all families in Gaza who have endured unimaginable loss and suffering. Here is a clip from the documentary, The Night Won't End, Biden's War on Gaza. You will hear the voice of today's guest, independent journalist Sharif Abdul Quddus, who directed the film.
Hiba Salem and her family have been trying to survive Israel's war on Gaza for months. After Hamas's attack on October 7th, when nearly 1,200 people were killed and more than 200 were taken captive, the Israeli government launched an unrelenting war. The destruction and civilian death toll in so short a time has been like nothing the world has seen in decades.
The number of victims, the collective punishment, the denial of humanitarian assistance very early on, those violations of humanitarian law, the violations of the right to life, all the instruments that we've established in 1948 so far have proven to be, frankly, useless. We are really as close to the abyss as we have ever been.
And despite the massive loss of life and numerous allegations from human rights groups of violations of international law, the United States, Israel's main ally, never wavered in its support.
I think the U.S. has actual knowledge that war crimes are being committed. Of course we do. They are in the newspapers and on the television every day. And we certainly have other means of knowing what is happening in Gaza. And yet we continue to provide the arms that enable these. So inherently we are complicit.
Among Gaza's more than 2 million people, no family has been spared the impact of this war.
That is a clip for the documentary, The Night Won't End, Biden's War on Gaza. You can watch it online now. Find a link at yourcallradio.org. Sharif Abdul Quddus is an award-winning independent journalist who's reported from across the Arab world, the United States, and internationally. He received a George Polk Award for his investigation into the killing of the Palestinian journalist Shireen Abu Akla, an Emmy Award for his coverage of the Trump administration's Muslim travel ban, and an Izzy Award for his coverage of the 2011 Egyptian Revolution. Sharif Abdul Quddus is director and correspondent of Al Jazeera's Fault Lines new documentary. Hi, Sharif. Huge thanks to you and your team, especially the Palestinian journalists in Gaza, for this incredible documentary. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And just a slight correction. I'm not the director. The director is Kavitha Shukuru, who also produced it along with Leila Larian, but I'm the correspondent on the film and helped put it together.
All right. Well, thank you so much. So Sharif, before we dive in and talk specifically about the documentary, let's talk about what is happening on the ground in Gaza. Because of what is happening politically in the United States and the recent Trump-Biden debate, which is getting 24/7 coverage, this issue has drastically fallen off the front pages. So can you give us a sense of what is happening on the ground? I mean, to think that nearly 40,000 Palestinians have been killed, thousands are still under the rubble, and a recent Lancet study found that more than 186,000 deaths could result from Israel's assault on Gaza.
Yeah, I would say the issue has really dropped to media coverage in this country and around the world. While we're seeing this vicious assault that now extending into its 10 months continue and in many ways continue to worsen, we just saw Israeli forces order all the remaining residents to evacuate Gaza City. There's something between 200 to 400,000 residents still there. They're calling on everyone to leave. This is now 10 months into the war. They claimed early on, dating back to January, that they were wrapping up their military action in the north, and now they're calling for everyone to leave. They've just destroyed the neighborhood of Shuja'iyya, reports of bodies in the streets, the medical workers and emergency crews are digging people up. They found 60 bodies. Hospitals continue to get attacked, and starvation is spreading and famine is spreading. So while this assault is actually ramping up, we're getting less coverage. And as you said, since the debate between the two leading candidates, the one time Gaza did come up, the Democratic candidate, President Joe Biden, boasted about how much support he was giving Israel in this war. And the other candidate, the Republican candidate, former President Trump, used Palestinian as a slur. And so that's the breadth of debate in Washington on this issue.
Sharif, for people who do not remember that, because really outside of, you know, people who really focus on the Middle East, the slur did not really make headlines. Can you remind people what he said and why you think that that is important to talk about?
Well, Trump and his, you know, very confusing rhetoric, which is, you know, full of lies and sometimes very hard to understand, in response to Biden's comments, was critical of Biden for not giving Israel enough support and for saying what he said, holding them back. And he said, he's like a Palestinian, except not a good one, a weak one. And no moderator said anything after that, and nor did Biden. Mm.
Just yesterday, the BBC reported that the United States will resume shipments of 500-pound bombs to Israel. This is according to a U.S. official. A joint shipment of 2,000-pound and 500-pound bombs had been paused since May because of White House concerns over the use of the munitions in the crowded city of Rafah and other parts of Gaza. The U.S. has now clarified that the 500-pound bombs had only been held up because they were, quote, commingled in the same shipment as the 2,000-pound bombs. The 500-pound bombs will now be, quote, moving forward as part of the usual process. Can you talk more about this and the utter destruction that these bombs are causing?
Well, this is just a continuation of the U.S.'s unfettered and continued complete backing of Israel in this assault on Gaza and what's been deemed by the highest court in the world, the International Court of Justice, a plausible case of genocide. The U.S. has provided Israel with billions and billions of dollars worth of arms shipments, of funding, of diplomatic backing and cover at the UN, vetoing successive Security Council resolutions. And many analysts that we've spoken to have said, as have senior officials in the Israeli military have admitted this to media outlets, that Israel could not prosecute this war without continued U.S. support, without the U.S. providing tens of thousands of munitions. And as the former State Department official Josh Paul says in our documentary, what that does means it means Israel doesn't have to make hard choices. They are continuing to pummel Gaza, to kill innocent civilians, to level and raise neighborhoods and entire cities, and they don't have to think about the consequences. They're not running out of munitions. The Biden administration even bypassed Congress at least twice to continue providing munitions without getting congressional approval. And, you know, the one thing that Biden did was pause temporarily the delivery of these 2,000-pound bombs and, as you said, these 500-pound bombs, which were creating incredible damage. We've seen, you know, these footage of the craters that they caused frequently. Over 100 people are killed in a single strike, all of them civilians. You know, even without those bombs being held up, the level of support the U.S. is giving is absolutely massive and is enabling this assault to continue. And it makes the United States not only a backer, but complicit in what international human rights lawyers have said are war crimes.
Sharif, you and your team tried to get interviews with the White House or the State Department. You went to several White House press briefings, but were not called on. You actually tried to chase down Secretary of State Antony Blinken. So you wanted to get answers, you couldn't. How do you explain the unconditional support and funding of this assault by the Biden administration?
Well, I think, you know, this is not a new policy. This has been U.S. policy for decades now with regard to Israel. It's Israel is the number one receiver of foreign military aid from the United States. No one even comes close. The second one is Egypt. And I think this actually speaks much more to domestic policy than the U.S. foreign policy. For very long, it's been political suicide for anyone to speak out against Israel to try and halt funding. There's very powerful lobby groups here. We just saw AIPAC, the pro-Israel lobby group, spend a record amount, more than any time in history, on a primary campaign that unseated Jamal Bowman, who was one of the first in Congress to call for a ceasefire. He has now lost the primary, and in his place was a candidate that was heavily backed by AIPAC. And so there's a real political cost to speaking out. But with regards to Biden himself, he is one of he has a very long career in public office and is one of the strongest backers of Israel dating back decades. He said since this assault began, he labeled himself a Zionist. And I think he's a true believer in this. And he has questioned the number of deaths of Palestinians. He has repeated false claims saying he saw photos of beheaded babies, which the White House later had to retract and say that that wasn't true. This kind of level of impunity continues. But I also want to say that we've never seen this level of solidarity with Palestine ever in this country before. The number of people who are speaking out, the number of protests that have been taking place, the massive student uprising that we saw across campuses. We've seen lawmakers and officials launch uncommitted campaigns to voice their displeasure with the Biden administration. So commensurate with this genocidal assault and unfettered backing by the Biden administration, we're also seeing an inspiring wave of support and solidarity and resistance to these policies.
We've been asking for months, Sharif, how long can this go on? Save the Children put out a press release a few weeks ago. It found nearly the entire population of the Gaza Strip, or 96% of the population, are facing acute food shortages, with more than 495,000 people, including children, facing starvation due to an extreme lack of food. Save the Children medical staff have reported 40 cases of children with severe and life-threatening malnutrition at one of its clinics in just 5 weeks. So how long can this go on?
I mean, it's incredible that it's still continuing. We're in the 10th month now. Earlier in the year, a senior Israeli official said it was going to go through to the end of the year. They have completely leveled Gaza, and they're continuing to destroy what little is left. Gaza City is destroyed. Khan Yunis is destroyed. The Biden administration's so-called red line of, you know, Israel not invading Rafah, where over a million people had sought shelter, has been crossed, and Rafah has since been destroyed, and those million people have had to be displaced yet again. Many of them are now in this area called Mawasi, which is just by the sea on sand. There's no infrastructure there, no sewage. Disease is spreading. Famine has set in. And it's continuing while the world is not only watching the West primarily, but it's also backing it and in many ways encouraging it. And it's hard to know what the future of Gaza holds. Gaza, as we know it, it's a place that I went to many times to work as a journalist and to cover previous assaults and previous stories there. That's been erased and gone. And we don't know what the future holds. But this genocidal assault is not slowing down. It is actually ramping up as we speak. And the atrocities continue. And no one is holding Israel to account, holding its feet to the fire. The Biden administration has massive leverage over Israel. It can halt weapons shipments, and this assault would have to stop. And if we just look back, we don't have to speculate. In 2021, There was a previous assault by Israel on Gaza that lasted 21 days or 20 days, something like that. And it ended because President Biden called Netanyahu, according to reporting, and told him, we're out of runway here. This has to stop. And 2 days later, a ceasefire was called. So he has massive leverage over Israel, over the Netanyahu government, over the Israeli military, and he's choosing not to use it.
Sharif Abdul Quddus is an award-winning independent journalist and correspondent of the Al Jazeera Fault Lines documentary, The Night Won't End, Biden's War on Gaza. Sharif, this film is dedicated to the journalists of Gaza. Israel and Egypt still refuse to allow journalists inside Gaza. I mean, this is unprecedented, although not for Gaza, but really just unprecedented when you think about the past 10 months. We've relied on Palestinian journalists who have not had a break from the killing, the destruction, and the suffering, and they have been killed in record numbers. I want to make sure I get this right. We haven't been able to, this is updated. As of July, the Committee to Protect Journalists investigation showed at least 108 journalists and media workers have been killed in the Israeli assault. Just an unprecedented number of journalists killed. The footage in this film is just haunting and devastating and so important to see. Palestinian journalists interviewed the families and did the filming because you're all not allowed to go there. How did you connect with them?
Yeah, we did try and get into Gaza like other journalists, and like other journalists, we were denied. And just the other day, actually, at least 70 media organizations signed a letter, including some of the leading and biggest media outlets in the world, the Associated Press, BBC, CNN, The Guardian, New York Times, and so forth, calling on Israel to allow journalists in to have unfettered access to the entire Gaza Strip, because Palestinian journalists have had to shoulder the labor of covering this brutal conflict, and they are suffering many of the same things of the people they're covering. They're displaced, they're hungry, they have lost loved ones, and somehow they continue to cover this war. We worked with a film crew called Media Town, which is an incredibly professional group of journalists. There was a team in the north and a team in the south that were doing the interviews for us, that were doing the shooting for us. And they continue to do this work through some of the most unbelievable circumstances imaginable. One journalist, one of the DPs, told us, oh, today we found a can of beans and they were splitting it amongst 10 other people. Hassan Jaber, a photographer and videographer who worked with us, his four-year-old daughter Selma was killed by Israeli forces right before his eyes. And he himself was injured in the arm. He actually had to have surgery during the production. Another producer or a videographer lost his wife and child during the shoot. And even getting the footage sent to us was very difficult. They would have to find cell phone service and go onto rooftops. And just this incredible work that they did under the most harrowing of circumstances, and all to be able to tell the story of what's happening to Gaza.
Sharif, you were recently on Democracy Now! With the director of the film, Kavita Chakuru, and she said that you actually found some of the Palestinian journalists on Instagram by simply calling the phone numbers that they have publicly shared. She said she feels like the larger journalism industry could do a much better job of connecting with these Palestinian journalists on the ground. They're there, they're shouldering the burden. They're ready to do the work. She said, I think more of the industry should be getting in touch with them.
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, we hear lamentations again and again about how journalists can't get in. Fine, that's the situation. Israel has decided not to let journalists in. There are incredible journalists on the ground who are covering this conflict, they're covering this war, covering this genocidal assault. And often news outlets in this country and in Europe will use their reporting and kind of not cite them or not credit them or not pay them. But these journalists are there. It was very easy actually for us to get in touch with them despite connectivity issues. And yes, as Kavita said, one of the people we worked with, he was posting on Instagram some incredible footage. And he had his number there. And so we called him and we worked with him. So I think this is also commensurate with the fact that the level of killing of journalists is not sparking the level of outrage that one would expect to see by the journalistic community, by legacy media in this country and elsewhere around the world. We're talking about a record number, an unprecedented number of journalists have been killed, the highest number of journalists since CPJ began keeping records in 1992. And there's been awards shows in this country of journalists and press freedom, and you don't hear anything about Palestinian journalists. It's really shameful and I think betrays a terrible bias.
Sharif, unfortunately, we're almost out of time. We'd love to have you back. The title of the documentary is The Night Won't End, Biden's War on Gaza. And we see in the film how people are afraid to go to sleep at night because they could be targeted in the middle of the night. Heba, one of the people you profile, says her son wants to know when the night ends. The night is full of fear. It just speaks to the trauma that people are experiencing. They're so tired during the day, but they're afraid to fall asleep. We have just about a couple minutes left.
Yeah, I think, one of the themes in the film is that it's impossible to kind of find safety in Gaza. No matter where you go, no matter where you try and seek shelter, you could be killed at any moment. In past assaults in Gaza that I personally have covered on the ground, and including in this one that's happening right now, the bombing is usually worse at night. It ensures that people are home. So that's why targeting usually happens at night. It also creates more confusion. But so that's why you hear these different characters talking about how terrifying the nighttime is. And night is supposed to be a time when you get rest, right? It's a time when children are supposed to dream. And this has been completely taken away from them as they undergo this really horrific assault and a level of bombing that we have not seen since World War II.
Sharif, how much attention has this documentary been getting outside of independent media? Have you been interviewed on any other NPR affiliates or cable news shows?
We've done a couple of podcasts, no cable news shows. The Forensic Architecture report that we worked with Forensic Architecture about the killing of Hind Rajab was introduced into Congress by Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman. And Matt Miller, the State Department spokesperson, was asked about it. But as far as coverage of the documentary on kind of large legacy media, there hasn't been much, really.
And what explains that, do you think?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. I couldn't speak to that.
Well, we hope that this gets the attention it deserves because it's just such a beautifully haunting film. I mean, the footage is devastating, but so important for people to see. Sharif, thank you to you and your team, especially the Palestinian journalists on the ground in Gaza, for making this film. And we'd love to have you back.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Sharif Abdul-Quddus is an award-winning independent journalist who's reported from across the Arab world, the U.S. and internationally. He's correspondent of Al Jazeera Faultline's documentary, The Night Won't End, Biden's War on Gaza. It investigates the killings of civilians by the Israeli military and the United States' role. It follows three Palestinian families who've experienced the ongoing horrors of the assault. These stories really represent the lives of all families in Gaza who are enduring unimaginable loss and suffering. I hope you can take the time to watch this incredible documentary. You can watch it online. You can find a link at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. You can find all of our shows at yourcallradio.org. Be sure to sign up for our podcast and share it with friends and family. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.